Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring the evolution of India's education system.
Yeah, it's quite a journey.
It is, and I think particularly we're going to focus on, well, I know you're interested in this, the shift from traditional classrooms to digital learning.
Right, and how that's impacting social mobility, skill development, all those things.
Exactly, yeah. And it's a huge story. So I guess to understand where India's education system is headed, we really have to understand where it's been, right?
Absolutely.
So to start us off, what can you tell us about the impact of British rule on India's education system?
Well, the British, they had a bit of a challenge. They needed Indians to help administer this vast colony,
Right.
but they didn't necessarily want to empower them through education.
Ah, so you've got this kind of, you want a workforce,
Yeah.
but you don't want them to maybe challenge your authority.
Yeah, precisely.
Interesting.
And so they established some institutions like universities and high schools, but they also incorporated existing indigenous schools.
Oh, interesting.
These were called pathshalas and madrasas into your
Oh,
system.
okay. So it's kind of a mixed bag then.
Yeah, very much so.
Were they trying to control the narrative, but also adhere to respect existing structures?
It's a complex picture. This blended approach, while intended to, maintain control, inadvertently preserved elements of traditional Indian pedagogy.
Right.
And this tension between imposed systems and adaptation continued as India fought for independence.
Okay, so let's fast forward then to post-independence India. What were the major reforms in those early years?
So after independence, India's leaders made education a top priority. They really recognized the need to expand access, particularly at the primary level.
Right, makes sense to give everyone a chance.
Exactly, to give everyone a chance at, building a better life.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine a nation thriving without that. So what kind of challenges did they face trying to achieve this? Well, I mean, you've got to remember that India was and is a vast, diverse nation with limited resources. Building schools, training teachers for such a huge population, it was a mammoth task.
Right.
And you also have to keep in mind the existing system was still largely traditional,
Yeah.
heavily reliant on rote learning and exams.
So, I mean, are we talking about a system that wasn't maybe keeping pace with a rapidly changing world?
Exactly. And this
Yeah.
is where the digital learning revolution comes
Okay, so this is where things start to get really exciting, at least
in.
for me. So, how did this shift to digital learning begin in India?
Well, the early days saw computers being introduced in schools,
Okay, yeah.
but the real turning point was the internet and mobile technology.
Right.
Suddenly, information and learning resources became accessible, at your fingertips.
Regardless of location.
Exactly. Location didn't matter as much.
Okay.
So imagine, you have a student in a remote village. Suddenly they have access to the same quality of education as someone in, say, Mumbai.
Right, yeah. It's a huge change.
It was a total game changer.
Yeah.
They could access online courses, they could connect with educators across the country, they could learn skills that were previously out of reach.
Incredible. It sounds like, digital learning really has the potential to democratize education and kind of bridge that gap between socioeconomic groups.
Absolutely. And this is where its impact on social mobility and skill development becomes so crucial.
This is what I was hoping we could dive into a little bit. Can you expand on how digital learning is specifically helping people climb that social ladder?
Well, just think about it. Someone without a formal degree can now learn coding or digital marketing skills, all online,
Right.
and compete for jobs in a global marketplace.
Yeah.
It's all about empowering people, right?
Yeah.
Empowering them to take control of their own learning and develop skills that are actually in high demand.
Absolutely. And that's a really powerful example. It sounds like a real shift in how we view education and its connection to opportunity. But we've got to talk about the other side of this, right? I mean,
Yeah.
what about the things that a physical classroom can offer that an online platform can't?
That's a key question,
Yeah.
and it's one we'll definitely explore a lot more in depth. There are unique benefits to both traditional and digital approaches. It's not about one replacing the other.
Okay.
It's about finding the right balance.
It's about balance. Well,
Yeah.
I'm really curious to hear more about that balance.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great place to maybe pick up in the next part of our deep dive.
You know, you're right. There is a certain kind of magic to the in-person connection you get in a traditional classroom.
Yeah.
You know, that energy of being surrounded by fellow students and the spontaneous discussions.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get the immediate feedback from a teacher. It's just something that's really hard to replicate online.
Absolutely. There's a human element that's just so valuable. But you also mentioned that digital learning has its own unique strengths.
Yeah.
What are some of those advantages?
Well, flexibility is a big one. You know, you can learn at your own pace,
right,
on your own schedule and from anywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And this is particularly beneficial for people who might have other commitments, you know, like family or work.
Yeah.
That make attending traditional classes really difficult.
That makes a lot of sense. It really does kind of level the playing field in terms of access and opportunity.
Exact.
So what about the learning experience itself? I mean, how does digital learning personalize education?
Well, digital platforms can really tailor the learning experience to individual needs and styles.
Okay.
You know, they can offer personalized feedback, they can track progress and adjust the difficulty level as needed.
Yeah.
So this allows students to really focus on areas where they need more support.
Okay.
And move more quickly through concepts they've already grasped.
It sounds like digital learning can really empower students to take ownership of their education.
Yeah.
And become active participants in their own learning journey.
Exactly. And there's another big advantage, and that's access.
Yep. To a wider range of resources and expertise.
Uh-huh.
So you can learn from the best teachers and experts in the world, regardless of your location.
Wow.
Digital learning opens up, you know, a whole universe of knowledge and skills that might not be available in a traditional setting.
That's incredible. It's like having this global library of knowledge and expertise at your fingertips.
It really is. And this is especially relevant when we talk about skill development.
Right.
You know, digital platforms can offer specialized courses and training programs.
Yeah.
In fields like coding,
mm-hmm.
data science,
yeah.
artificial intelligence, you know, things that are really in high demand in today's global economy.
And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier about social mobility. You know, by providing access to these high demand skills, it's giving people in India, especially those from disadvantaged backgrounds, a real chance to improve their lives and contribute to the country's growth.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's about equipping individuals with the skills they need to thrive in a rapidly changing world.
Yeah.
And this brings us to a crucial question. How do we ensure that this digital learning revolution in India truly benefits everyone, not just a privileged few?
That's the key, isn't it?
I know.
I mean, how do we make sure this opportunity reaches everyone, regardless of their background or location?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is bridging the digital divide.
Okay.
We need to ensure equitable access to technology and internet connectivity.
Right.
Especially in rural areas.
It's like having a state-of-the-art car, but no roads to drive it. What good is all this amazing online content if people can't even get online?
Precisely. We need to invest in infrastructure, make devices more affordable, and create programs that promote digital literacy. But access is just the first step. We also need to address the quality of digital learning content.
That's a great point. Just because something is online doesn't automatically make it good.
Exactly. We need to ensure that digital learning resources are engaging, interactive, and aligned with the needs of learners.
Okay.
It's not just about passive consumption of information,
right,
but about active learning, critical thinking, and problem solving.
So it's about creating a learning environment that encourages students to think for themselves, apply what they're learning, and develop those essential 21st century skills.
Exactly.
What are some of those key skills that digital learning can help develop?
Oh, there's a whole range of them. You know, of course, there are the technical skills like coding and data analysis.
Sure.
But equally important are those transferable skills.
Yeah.
Like critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, communication, and digital literacy. These are the skills that will equip individuals to succeed in any field,
right,
no matter how much the world changes.
It sounds like digital learning has the potential to not only provide access to specific jobs, but to prepare individuals for a future where adaptability and lifelong learning are essential.
Exactly. And this requires a shift in mindset, not just among students, but among educators, policymakers, and society as a whole.
Wow.
We need to embrace the idea that learning is not confined to a particular time or place,
yeah,
but that it's a continuous journey that happens throughout our lives.
It's about fostering a culture of curiosity, of exploration, of lifelong learning. That's a powerful vision. And it seems like India, with its rich history of innovation and resilience, is well positioned to make this vision a reality.
Absolutely. By embracing the possibilities of digital learning while recognizing the enduring value of traditional approaches, I believe India can create an education system that truly empowers its people and drives progress for generations to come. But there are still challenges to overcome, opportunities to seize, and important questions to consider.
Well, let's delve into those questions and explore the future of India's education system in the final part of our deep dive. We've talked about the exciting possibilities of digital learning in India and, you know, the challenges of bridging the digital divide. But I think there's another layer to this, isn't there? I mean, how do we make sure that education in all its forms stays relevant in a world that's like changing so rapidly?
Yeah, I think that's the million-dollar question, right? It's not enough to just deliver content. Whether it's in a traditional classroom or online, we really need to focus on fostering those adaptable, future-ready skills we were talking about, you know, the critical thinking, problem-solving, collaboration, and creativity.
Because those are the skills that allow people to, like, navigate a world where the job market's constantly evolving and technology is advancing so quickly.
Exactly, yeah. And it requires a shift in how we think about assessing learning, you know, the traditional emphasis on rote memorization and standardized tests.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily measure these really essential skills.
So how do we measure them? I mean, how do we know if someone is actually developing those critical thinking and problem-solving skills?
Well, we need to move towards more project-based learning where students are actually applying their knowledge to, you know, real-world challenges. We need mm-hmm. to look at their ability to think critically, work in teams, communicate effectively, and adapt to new situations.
So it sounds like we need to reimagine the whole concept of assessment and move away from those traditional metrics of success.
In a lot of ways, yeah, absolutely. And this is where the role of the educator becomes even more crucial, right? Teachers need to be facilitators, mentors, guides, helping students navigate this really complex landscape and develop those really essential skills.
Yeah, that's a big ask, but it also sounds really exciting. I mean, what are some of the ways educators are kind of adapting to this new paradigm?
There's a lot of innovation happening, which is great to see. Teachers are, you know, incorporating technology into their classrooms and in really creative ways.
Yeah.
Using online platforms to personalize learning. They're designing engaging interactive lessons that go beyond the traditional textbook.
So it's not about replacing teachers with technology, but more about empowering teachers with technology.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think this brings us, you know, full circle back to that initial interest in social mobility. By embracing these new approaches to education, by focusing on those future-ready skills, by bridging that digital divide, India really has the potential to create a much more equitable and prosperous society.
That's inspiring to think about the possibilities. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, you know, from the historical context of India's education system to the transformative power of digital learning. Is there one key takeaway you'd want our listeners to walk away with?
You know, I think it's this. India is really at a pivotal moment in its educational journey. By embracing innovation, by fostering a culture of lifelong learning, and by ensuring equitable access to quality education, I think it can unlock that immense potential of its people and shape a brighter future for generations to come.
That's a powerful message. Well, it's been a fascinating exploration of India's education system, and I hope you've all learned something new today. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep learning. Until next time, this has been The Deep Dive.